Amen. What a blessing to begin worship with such beautiful music. Thank you all so much. I was just watching thinking I could never do that. So I'm so glad that all of you can and you share your time and gifts with all of us. It's a joy to welcome all of you this morning to this time of worship together, whether you're joining us online or you're here in the sanctuary. We're grateful to be together, and we know that Christ's Spirit unites us all in this time of worship. I would invite you to take a moment to register your attendance. Let us know that you're here. If you're here in the sanctuary, the registration pads are at the end of each row. If you'll pass those down and back again. And if you're worshiping online, there should be a link that you can copy and put in your browser and register online that way. Just a few announcements as we gather this morning. Right after this service at 9:45 up in the Fourth Story Theater, we will have our annual Fall Town Hall meeting. It will also be live streamed, so if you're worshiping from home or out of town, you can also tune in. It's an annual update on how we're doing financially, what our plans are for our 2023 ministries and budget. We'll be getting some of the survey results that we took this summer about our worship practices and other things that we're going to celebrate and look forward to in 2023. So I hope you'll join us for that upstairs or online. Later this afternoon at 4 o'clock, we are welcoming Scott Detra, who will be performing an organ concert, and we hope that you will come and enjoy that event as well. Then the following Sunday at 4:30, our adult choirs will join together in a concert performing Durafle's Requiem, and this act of worship on All Saints Sunday. So we hope that you'll mark your calendars now to be part of that service. In your bulletin, there are several other announcements listed. One of them highlights a grief group that we are pulling together. Today is the last day to sign up for that group. So the details on how to sign up are in the bulletin. And we hope that if there's someone you know who might benefit from that, that you'll pass that along to them today. And finally, just to mark your calendars, a couple of weeks from now, November 13th, we are declaring another Jubilee Sunday, when we hope that all who are able to worship in person will make a point to be present in worship, or if you're worshiping online, to be present in real time on that Sunday, so we can see one another and celebrate the season that God has called us to. This morning, we are filled with celebration as we read the beautiful story of Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus, and may the joy of Zacchaeus be contagious to us all as we worship today.
God seek us wherever we are. God calls us all, regardless of our pain and our past. God's salvation is all embracing. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting. Let us make our confessions with the confidence of children of God. God of all creation, your love is everywhere to be found. Like Zacchaeus, we climb trees to get a glimpse of you, thinking that we can keep up a safe distance. But you celebrate. Lord, open our hearts and minds so that you would gently bid us to come down from our tree. We listen and respond and seek us, transformed and ready to live us. And now, Lord, we offer you our individual confession in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love in whatever way we feel comfortable. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel, Luke 19, 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be with a guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came not to seek out, and the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite all the children who'd like to come forward to come join me up here. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screen so we can wave to you. We had a good time at Trunk or Treat yesterday afternoon. I got to see some of you in your costumes. It was a fun weekend. Good morning. Glad you're here this morning. Nobody's in costume today. No Power Rangers or Spider People. I'll save that for tomorrow. Welcome, welcome. Well, sometimes I have to think a long time about what the children's moment's going to be about. But this morning, I didn't have to think at all, because there's a great song that I learned as a child about Zacchaeus. I bet some of you know it. Maybe you learned it in vacation Bible school, or you've learned it in Sunday school. And it's not often that we hear the story of Zacchaeus in worship on Sunday, so we've just got to sing this song. And my guess is that a lot of people out there know the song too, so I'm going to invite them, not make them, but invite them to join us in singing it. Do you know Zacchaeus was a wee little man? Y'all know that one? You may not have had a chance to learn it yet. Well, the word wee means little. And the story tells us that Zacchaeus was kind of a small man who wanted to see Jesus, but the crowd was all around him and he couldn't see anything. So he went and he climbed a tree so he could get a good look at Jesus. And then Jesus came and called his name and said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, I want to visit you at your house." And it made Zacchaeus so happy. So there's all sorts of fun movements that go with this song and movements that happened in the story. So I'm going to sing it, and I bet Miss Frances knows it too. And any of you who know it, join us. And any of you out there who would like to can also join us. Okay, ready? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today." All right, let's stand up and do it together, okay? And you can just sing as much as you picked up on, and we can all do the motions together, okay? Ready? Ready, everybody? Everybody online? Here we go. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, now usually we get real loud on this part, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today." Let's pray together. Gracious God, just as Jesus saw Zacchaeus that day, all the way up in the tree, he called him by name and he invited him to share a meal with him. Help us to know that you see us too, and you love us, and you want to be with us. Help us be like Zacchaeus and welcome you with joy. Thank you for songs like this that help us understand the Bible better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for singing and moving with me. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie. And Sarah, are you helping out as well? Great. Miss Sarah and Miss Frances. Y'all are going to have a great time in there with all of y'all. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with parents or friends. I was just thinking that with the past few years in COVID and having the inability to gather as much as we would like, there are probably some little ones in our midst who didn't know that song. So that's a song we want to teach our children as they grow up. It's one that has stuck with me over the years. One of the things I love about it, and one of the reasons I wanted to get the children singing it this morning, is because of all the movement that happens in the story. There are all sorts of verbs in this story. There is climbing and running and passing by and standing and giving. And it's those verbs that I really want to focus on this morning. But before we get to the verbs, there's a noun and a couple of adjectives that I want to address really quickly. Just in case this might be the first time you've heard this story or the first time to delve into it. The story tells us that Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. It's an adjective and a noun. Now, the tax collectors, we talked a little bit about this last week. The tax collectors were Jewish people who collaborated with the Roman Empire to collect Rome's taxes from their own people. Now, Rome set the amount that they wanted in taxes, and the tax collectors could collect anything above and beyond that they wanted to in order to enrich themselves, and they often did. And so their Jewish neighbors did not like the tax collectors. They were socially isolated in many ways. Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector, which means that he sat at the top of the pyramid of this system that oppressed his Jewish neighbors. He benefited from this system. So he was probably particularly despised and mistrusted. So he's a chief tax collector, and he is rich. Now, so far, up to this point in Luke's gospel, every time someone has been described as rich, or every time the rich are mentioned, it's not good. It's problematic. It's something that seems to work against folks for getting into the kingdom of God. From the song that Mary sings when she conceives Jesus, in which God will fill the hungry with good things and send the rich away empty, to Jesus' first sermon that we see in Luke's gospel, where he says, "Blessed are the poor, and woe to you who are rich." To all the parables of the rich fool who built too many barns, or the rich man in Lazarus who was so caught up in his own pleasure and his own money that he kept walking by and ignoring the poor man at his gate. Up until the verses right before the story with Zacchaeus, where we're told a rich man comes up to Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus, seeing the place that this man's possessions held in his life, said, "Give away all your possessions to the poor and come and follow me." And the man couldn't do it, and he walked away. And Jesus said afterwards, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." That happened just a few verses ago. And yet, here we have Zacchaeus, described from the very beginning as a rich man, who by the end of the story has indeed entered the kingdom of God through his relationship with Jesus. So it's a hopeful story and a transformative story and a story that invites us in. So we start off with these nouns and adjectives. Oh, right, one more adjective. He's short in stature. Now, Fred Craddock, when he preached this story, who is about 5'3", said that, you know, maybe it's Jesus who's short. It's not really clear with the pronouns, but I think it's meant for us to understand that Zacchaeus is short. But here's where we get to the verbs in the story. For some reason, Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. He longs. He wants to see Jesus. We don't know why. It may be that he's heard along the way that Jesus has been called a friend to tax collectors. Maybe he knows that one of Jesus' disciples, Matthew, also known as Levi, was a tax collector. Maybe he's come to the point in his life where all of his riches and power have left him empty. Who knows? Maybe he's just like, ooh, there's a crowd gathering. There's a famous person walking through. I just want to get a glimpse. We don't really know. But he has this desire to see Jesus. And because of his stature, he can't see. So he runs ahead of the crowd and climbs a tree. Both of these verbs, both of these actions, would make him look ridiculous in the sight of the crowd. These were things that grown men did not do. They were not dignified. And yet Zacchaeus doesn't seem to care what other people think. He just runs and climbs a tree. And maybe, as we said in our opening prayer, it may be that Zacchaeus just wanted to see Jesus, kind of keep his distance, not really get involved. But that's not good enough for Jesus. Jesus wants more with Zacchaeus. And all of a sudden, there stands Jesus at the base of Zacchaeus' tree. And what we see Jesus doing in these verbs used here is that he calls Zacchaeus by name. Don't know how he knew Zacchaeus' name, but he did. He calls his name and he says, "Hurry down. I must stay at your house today." It seems Jesus is just as enthusiastic, just as eager to be in relationship with Zacchaeus as Zacchaeus was to see Jesus. Have you ever thought that God was more eager to be in relationship with you than the other way around? That God is pursuing you and seeking you and calling you by name. As I look at the verbs of Zacchaeus and running to get a glimpse of Jesus, I question myself, when was the last time I had that kind of excitement and curiosity and eagerness to experience God, to see Jesus? Just last week, I was talking with one of our young adults who lives in the neighborhood, and he realized he was late for church, and so he ran. I was like, "You ran to church? When was the last time I ran to church? When was the last time I couldn't wait to sit down and spend some time in prayer with God?" I'm inspired by Zacchaeus' longing and enthusiasm, and I'm overwhelmed by Jesus' response. Jesus says, "Hurry down, Zacchaeus. I must be with you today. I must stay with you today." And that verb that he uses is sometimes translated dwell or abide. "I want to abide with you, Zacchaeus. I want to take up residence in your home, in your life, in your heart. I want to be in relationship with you, Zacchaeus." And he says the same to you and me. "I want to abide with you." And so we watch as Zacchaeus hurries down the tree. I just see him scrambling down the tree and is happy to welcome Jesus. He is overjoyed to welcome Jesus. And I wonder, are we? And then it's not clear whether this happens at the base of the tree or it happens later as they are together in Zacchaeus' home or on the way there, but they hear the grumblings of the crowd. What's another verb in the passage? The grumbling of the crowd that just can't believe Jesus is spending time with this chief tax collector. And as Jesus hears those grumbles, and perhaps as Zacchaeus hears them, he stops. Zacchaeus stands there and says, "Look, Lord, half of my possessions I give to the poor." It's interesting, the verb is present tense there. Lots of ways to interpret that. But it's as if what I hear when I read it this time through is, from this moment forward, right now, I'm giving half of it away. While you're still looking, I'm giving it away. Half of it. "And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I'll pay back four times over," which is far beyond what the law would have required of him. And so we see that from this encounter with Jesus, this new relationship of belonging and claiming and grace, having been received just as he is, Zacchaeus' whole life is changed. How he deals with his possessions is totally changed. Instead of accumulating, he's giving away. Instead of extorting people and perhaps not being honest in his business dealings, he's overdoing his repaying of people. And suddenly it's not his possessions at the center of his life anymore. And so as I look at the story of Zacchaeus and I'm inspired by his enthusiasm and moved by his connection and Jesus reaching out to him, I'm also inspired and challenged by his response. His whole life is now shaped by this relationship with Jesus. And I have to ask myself, is my life shaped more than anything by my relationship with God through Christ? As I think about my own possessions, you know, the way we keep our records, we can do a little pie graph. You know, you click a button and there's a pie graph and you can see what you've taken in and what you've given away. And is that giving, is that spending, you can see what you spent it on too, is all of that radically shaped by my relationship with Christ? I've got some thinking to do about that. Maybe you do too. As we enter into this season of giving in our church, there's an opportunity to prayerfully think about, with God in relationship, what am I called to do? How do you want me to navigate my possessions, to support the ministries of the church, to build up the community, to help others? Zacchaeus' transformation changed Jericho, I believe. For a man with that much wealth to give half of it away to the poor, he made a huge difference in that community. I want to give like that. How does our relationship with Jesus shape our verbs? What are the other verbs in our life? I can't help but think about, in this season, we are called to go to the polls and vote. And I know it's like, oh no, we're going to talk about politics. There's a very clear line, I believe. As a pastor, as a church, we should never tell people how to vote or for whom to vote or what party they're supposed to be a part of. There's no one party, there's no one candidate that has all the right answers. Our allegiance is to Christ and Christ alone. At the same time, I believe as followers of Jesus, we are called to participate in the life of our community, to build up a community that resembles the kingdom of God as best we can. And our votes matter. So how do we pray about that? How do we educate ourselves? How do we take that seriously? I confess there are times I've gone into the voting polls and I thought, oh, I don't know what that amendment's about. I better not. Shame on me. I need to know and how it will affect my neighbors and pray about that. How does our relationship with Jesus shape every aspect of our lives? There's a theologian, I can't remember who said it, but who coined the term practical atheism. As people who say we believe in God, but there's nothing about our lives that look any different from the rest of the world. And I don't want that to be the case for me or for any of us. I want our actions in the world to look so radically different that people will say, wow, what makes them so generous? What makes them so involved? What makes them so compassionate? What makes them so loving? That's because we have been loved first by a Christ who claims us and names us. Which brings me to one more, not verb, but adverb. Zacchaeus does all of these things joyfully because he's been named and claimed by Jesus. He is so filled with excitement and joy that he does everything differently as a response to having been loved by Jesus. And that again challenges me. Do I live out the verbs in my life not out of guilt or because I feel like I should or I'm supposed to or someone said, but out of joy and gratitude for all that God has done for me? For the fact that I am loved and claimed by God of grace. I love the story of Zacchaeus. I love his joy and excitement and enthusiasm. And I pray that it will be contagious for me and for you. And that as we go from this place, people will see that joy and that love and that grace. and want to know more. Amen.
We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that you can place in the offering plates as they're passed around. This morning, we celebrate the birth of Jane Virginia London, who was born on October 17th in Washington, D.C., to Ben and Julie London. She's also welcomed by her brothers, Jacob and Graham London, and grandparents, Linda London and Ed Van Voorhees. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, who sees us, we have come to this time of worship hoping for an encounter with you. Some of us have come with joy and thanksgiving. Others of us have come carrying burdens that feel heavy and overwhelming. But however we've arrived in this place and time, we give you thanks that we are not alone. You have called us by name. You have invited us into relationship with you and with one another, and you have offered us salvation. We praise you for your steadfast love, your compassion, and your grace. O great Redeemer, there are many who need your special attention this day. We lift up to you all who suffer, all who grieve, all who live with shame or guilt. We remember those who feel far from you and those who struggle with questions that seem to have no adequate answers. Hold each of these close, dear Jesus. May they be enfolded in your love and your care. We pray too for the concerns of our world. And we lift up to you places where there is hunger and famine, conflict and war, where people are not able to flourish with dignity and equality. Guide each of us, O God, with our varied gifts to do all that we can to alleviate the suffering of others. This morning, we lift up to you the families of those who lost their lives in Seoul, Korea yesterday. May they be comforted in their grief and surrounded with support. Finally, O God, we pray for the Church Universal, for the United Methodist Church, and for this congregation. We especially lift up our Southeastern jurisdictional delegates as they gather later this week. May they be led by your Spirit, and may those who are elected bishop be equipped for just such a time as this. All of our prayers, O God, both spoken and unspoken, we offer to you in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. I am Bill Ferris, this year's chair of the Finance Committee, and I'm here to give you a status report where the church is financially as of September 30th. Ours is an active and generous and loving congregation. There are many ways to participate in the life of West End United Methodist, and we, as one church family, are very active. With this said, we must be aware of our financial health. Our church facilities are in use just about every day and evening. Think about electricity, water usage, cleaning services, maintenance, security, repair costs. This is an old church. We love our ministers, staff, our music, and our outreach programs. These are all funded by your generosity. We as a church family do so much, and we should be proud of what we do for our community. Now, the not so good news. Each of us is painfully aware that inflation year to date is running at just over 8%. And the last time I looked, the stock market is down 14%, just like a yo-yo. These percentages have a direct effect on each of us. Our church finances are also affected directly. As of September 30th, our actual income was $1,550,000, which is $36,000 lower than what we budgeted. Our expenses year to date total $1,891,000. Which is $155,000 over budget. To put it another way, through September 30th, our expenses exceeded our income for a shortfall of $341,000. Where, how do we account for our income? For this year, of our approximately 550 households, 345 made an estimate of giving, or a pledge, as we used to call them in the old days. This means 33% of our households did not make an estimate. We would love to improve that number. For this year, the total amount pledged was $1,864,000. Our total budgeted income is $2,445,000. In order to offer next year's balanced budget, we will take this year's estimate of giving and add, hopefully, a good educated guess as to the amount that will be given by those who do not send in a pledge. The good news is that for the last several years, our members, in November and December of that year, have sent in 40% of our total budgeted income. In those years, our budget's balanced, just barely. The bad news, at least for this chair of the Finance Committee, these last 2 months are a very nervous time. Our staff and lay leaders have worked hard to give us a preliminary budget for 2023. And in this economic uncertainty, next year's expense budget is only roughly 3% more than this year's budget. So I ask that you do complete your estimate of giving. The more pledges we receive, the less guesswork we have to do. And please, if possible, next year try to complete your annual giving well before November and December. We know times are tough. But try to be generous. Giving is just one way, one of the ways we live out our faith every day. Friends, we can do this for God, our church, and for each other joyfully. Thank you.
Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. For those of you joining us online, you're invited to give via the options listed on the screen or in the chat. And those here in the sanctuary, we will pass the plates in a moment. May we give with joy this morning to the God who has been so generous with us.
There are those who will choose to return to your seats and listen to the organ voluntary as a final act of worship. Others are welcome to join in conversation in Reed Hall and the Narthex, to come upstairs and join us in the town hall. I'll be heading straight there, so I won't be at the door to greet you this morning. But all of us go from this place having been called by name and claimed and loved by God. There were so many verbs in that final hymn, so many ways to live out that love. Let us go from this place and never be the same.